Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Why Men Marry Bitches, expanded new edition by Sherry Argoff, is a popular relationship advice book aimed at women who feel they become too accommodating, self-sacrificing, or overly available in dating and long-term relationships. Written in a direct, punchy self-help style, it argues that consistent overgiving can reduce attraction and respect, while confidence and self-regard tend to strengthen both. Argoff uses the provocative word bitch in a redefined sense, a woman who is kind but not a pushover, who maintains standards, boundaries, and an independent life. The book's purpose is practical to offer principles that help readers shift from chasing approval to expecting reciprocity, and to create a relationship dynamic where commitment is more likely because the man experiences the woman as an equal partner rather than an assistant. The expanded edition continues the same core message while presenting it as a guide for women who identify as too nice and want clearer tools for healthier, more balanced relationships. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, redefining the word bitch as self-respect and strength. A central move in the book is to separate the stereotype of a mean or hostile woman from what Argoff is actually advocating. Her redefinition frames the so-called bitch as self-assured, selective, and calm under pressure. Someone who does not over-explain, over-apologize, or work overtime to be chosen. This matters because many people who identify as too nice avoid any behavior that might cause disapproval, even when their needs are not met. Argoff's argument is that kindness is not the problem. The problem is making kindness a strategy for earning love while sacrificing dignity. In her framing, a strong woman can still be warm and feminine, but she does not abandon her opinions, routines, or values to keep a relationship smooth. By reclaiming the label as a shorthand for boundaries and backbone, the book tries to give readers permission to stop equating love with compliance. The result is a mindset shift. Respect is treated as the foundation for romance, and confidence is presented as something communicated through actions, not speeches. Secondly, boundaries that prevent the slide from partner to caretaker. Much of the book focuses on boundary setting as the practical difference between being giving and being used. Argoff warns against patterns where a woman becomes an unpaid assistant, always available, always solving problems, always accommodating schedules, and accepting inconsistent effort. In that dynamic, the man may enjoy the convenience without feeling the need to invest, because the relationship runs on her labor. The book's principles push readers to notice early signs of imbalance and to respond by scaling back over functioning rather than pleading for fairness. This includes saying no, tolerating temporary discomfort, and being willing to walk away from disrespect instead of negotiating away personal standards. Argoff also emphasizes that boundaries are most effective when they are simple and behavioral. You change what you do, not just what you request. The point is not to punish a partner, but to protect self-respect and establish expectations for mutuality. Over time, the book suggests, clear limits create conditions where respect can grow and where commitment becomes more plausible. Thirdly, independence and a full life as the engine of attraction. A repeated theme is that neediness, constant availability, and over-focus on a man can erode attraction, while independence tends to increase it. Argoff encourages readers to maintain their own routines, friendships, interests, and goals, so the relationship is a part of life rather than the entire identity. The message is partly psychological. A person who appears content and self-directed signals value, stability, and choice. It is also practical. When a woman keeps her world intact, she is less likely to tolerate poor treatment out of fear of losing the relationship. The book links this to the idea that attraction is shaped by the perception that the other person has options and standards, rather than advising women to perform indifference. Argoff's approach leans on creating real balance. Do not organize your life around his texts. Do not make yourself perpetually on call. And do not abandon priorities to manage his moods. Independence here is framed as both self-protection and magnetism, a way to foster healthier pacing and stronger respect. Fourthly, understanding pursuit, ego, and why pressure can backfire. Argoff spends significant effort on a specific view of male psychology. Many men, she argues, respond poorly to being pushed toward commitment and respond better when they feel they are pursuing and choosing. In this framework, the more a woman pressures, chases, or tries to lock down certainty, the more she may trigger resistance or complacency. The book therefore advises against tactics like constant reassurance seeking, repeated relationship talks that feel like persuasion, or trying to force a timeline through anxiety. Instead, it recommends behaviors that preserve mystery and self-control, letting him initiate more often, not rewarding inconsistent attention with increased effort, and allowing space for him to invest. The emphasis on ego is not presented as flattery for bad behavior, but as a reality Argoff believes readers can use to avoid common traps. Commitment, in her view, is more durable when it feels like a man's decision rather than a concession. Whether readers agree with the gendered framing or not, the practical aim is clear: reduce chasing, increase standards, and let actions reveal genuine intent. Lastly, applying the principles to real-world areas like money, sex, and communication, the book is known for organizing its advice into concise principles that touch multiple parts of relationship life, not only early dating. Argoff extends the too nice pattern into domains where women may overgive to keep peace: financial decisions, sexual availability, emotional labor, and communication dynamics. The underlying thread is consistency. When a woman repeatedly ignores her discomfort, she teaches a partner that her limits are flexible. In money matters, this can look like routinely paying more than feels fair or rescuing someone from consequences. In intimacy, it can look like using sex to secure closeness while feeling unseen. In communication, it can look like over-explaining, trying to manage his reactions, or accepting vague commitments. Argoff's counter is to treat self-respect as non-negotiable and to make choices that reflect it. The book is not a clinical therapy manual. It is a behavioral guide aimed at helping readers create reciprocity. By spreading the same core idea across everyday situations, it aims to make boundaries actionable rather than abstract. In conclusion, Why Men Marry Bitches. Expanded New Edition works best for readers who recognize a pattern of overinvesting, overaccommodating, or trying to earn love by being endlessly agreeable. It is also relevant for women who keep ending up in uneven relationships and want a blunt, principle-driven framework for changing their behavior. The main practical benefit is clarity. The book repeatedly pushes the reader to evaluate effort, respect, and consistency rather than relying on hope or potential. Even when its observations about men and women feel broad, the action steps center on widely useful skills: self-respect, boundary setting, and maintaining an identity outside romance. That makes many of the lessons applicable beyond dating, including friendships and work relationships, where people-pleasing shows up. What helps the book stand out in the relationship advice category is its unapologetic tone and its focus on behavior and standards rather than self-blame or endlessly analyzing feelings. Compared with softer, communication-heavy guides, Argoff positions attraction and commitment as closely tied to self-worth expressed through actions. Readers looking for an empowering, no-nonsense push to stop being too nice will likely find it energizing, while readers seeking gender-neutral or research-driven counseling may prefer other approaches. If you would like to support Sherry Argoff, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.